And we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 6 tonight. And just remain seated. We'll read our text. We'll start in verse 1 and we'll read all the way to verse 19. Deuteronomy 6. I mentioned this last week that I had been surprised as we're going through the book of Deuteronomy how it's going. I was surprised. I'm surprised because I thought that we would accelerate through the book quicker because we would be dealing with heavier portions of Scripture and there would be a lot of things that went together through this process. But what I found is that there's an incredible amount of practical information here that God is imparting to the nation of Israel so that they might remain in the land. God is now sending them into the promised land. And as they're about to enter into this new phase of their life, they did not have a tendency to remain faithful to God. So here he's giving them everything, the tools that they need to remain blessed. We need that, don't we? We want to be blessed of God. We come to God. We make commitments to God. And what we need is God's what we need is the tools to remain faithful to God throughout the whole thing. We even talked about it in Sunday school some this morning. The title of the lesson in Sunday school, if you weren't here, was Knocked Down but Never Knocked Out. That's what we want, isn't it? We might get knocked down, but we never want to be knocked out. God wanted that for his people. So tonight we're going to be talking about commitments, and we're going to be talking about recommitments. Sort of like January 1st. What do we all do on January 1st? New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose 80 pounds this year, you know? Or I'm going to, maybe not 80, that's a little extreme. I'm going to lose 20. I'm like, Pastor, I did it, 20 pounds. I put it on. Wait, no, that's not the way we're supposed to go. So we need to make recommitments. Sometimes it's not the commitments. It's the recommitments. And God knew we would need both. So let's talk about that tonight. Starting in verse 1, we'll read the verse all the way to verse 19. Follow along as I read. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now, these are the commandments and statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Oh, that we would say that, right? We talked about that last week. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them. Last week I realized that I am not good at that. I did a whole sermon on us teaching our children to love God with all their heart. And not that we don't have that spirit in our home, but talking of God every day, I realized we just don't do it. And so I thought, man, how could we do this? And I mentioned, I think in Sunday school this morning, that we started memorizing a verse. And what an appropriate verse to start memorizing than the message that we did this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, it's just 7 words. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Unless you're one of my kids, then it's 11 words. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. See? 11 words. Like, that didn't sound right. But we meditated on that verse every day. And you know, that's one way you can talk about God in your home. Just as a family. Hey, what's our verse? Have we seen God do the impossible? It's just a wonderful thing to talk about God. And so, yeah, that's what he says there. Talk of them. Verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy doors, or the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And by the way, you see that? He says, bind them on thine hand, and frontlets between thine eyes. That might be one way you can memorize Scripture, is just put it on your kids' foreheads. and put it around their hands. And so everywhere they walk, it's just plastered right there, right? Verse 10, this is our text. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantedst not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. See that phrase? Beware lest thou forget the Lord. Okay. What's he say next? Where am I? 12. Which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. We'll talk about what that means in our message. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. By the way, verse 14, he says, ye shall not. And then he says the second thing, verse 16, ye shall not. So these are two separate things. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandment of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee, and thou shalt do them which do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Verse 19, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. Tonight, we're going to talk about commitment. We're going to talk about recommitment. So let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings and your blessings on the message. God, I pray you'd touch hearts, work through me to be filled with you. Say what you'd have me to say, that it might inspire your people towards you. And we'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I committed to the boys, I guess it would have been several months ago, that we would have a camp out at the house. And so we had recently gotten a tent. It was a 10-person tent, which is humongous, by the way. We set that thing up in the backyard in the best place, right over the gravel. And so, you know, lay down on that. That can't be comfortable. But I had a big mattress, so I was fine. So we set up this big tent. We had 8 boys over. And we, meaning me, I asked Brother Toby, I'm like, brother, you got to be there for me. I have to work. Yeah, right. No, he did have to work. But Brother Marvin, you didn't come and help me. Nobody, all you guys left me hanging there. But you, what? He did come over and ate a hot dog and then left. Yes, thank you for that. So we set the tent up. We got the mattresses in there. Alex got his tent set up over on the other side of the yard, and a couple kids slept in there. And then it was me with 6 other kids in the big tent. And so, you know, we get in there, and I realize, man, now I know why I don't like sleeping outside sometimes. Because in this big tent, it was so tall, and it had been for that week so windy. Remember a couple of weeks ago, it was so windy? We picked the windiest night. So all night it was the wind hitting that tent. So I went and got earplugs, so I was good. I don't know, one of the kids might have cried in the middle of the night, who knows. I slept great after I got the earplugs. Woke up at 3:27. Note that I remember the exact time. And it was kind of cold because it had been warm, and then it was in the middle of the night and cold. And so I looked around at the kids, and some of the kids had these like real thin little blankets, and I could see them shivering under the blanket. And I, all right, I'll go inside and get them some blankets. So I went inside, grabbed blankets for everyone, started throwing blankets on them, and Sawyer wasn't where he started off. And I looked over, I was like, where is Sawyer? He was way on the other side of the tent. And his head, he was sleeping in between 2 mattresses. His body was on the ground. His head was on one mattress and his legs were on the other mattress. And I don't know how this happened. He doesn't even remember moving there. Do you remember doing that? I don't know. So, but here's the thing, is through that whole thing, the kids are having a good time. We had a good time. But I was thinking, I want to keep an eye on these boys. You know, we're sleeping in the backyard. And we're right in town, and I know nothing happened. I leave my doors unlocked sometimes. I probably shouldn't say that from the pulpit, right? Anyway, I'm going to start locking them. So anyway, I know that likely nothing's going to happen, but I'm thinking I just want to be able to keep an eye on the boys. I don't want to be too far from them in case something happens. And I do confess that in the middle of the night at 3:27, I did think about just sleeping the rest of the night in the house. But I thought, I better not do that. I think I'll stay with the kids. Well, God's kind of like that in this sense. God is never that far from you. He's never that far. You might wake up one day and think, or go through a week or a season in your life and you feel like God is far from you. Or you might feel like you're far from God. But the truth is He's not far from you. He's never far from you. In fact, Paul said that to the Athenians who were searching for God. Remember they had all those idols erected in Acts chapter 17, you Bible students? And they were looking for God. And then they had erected this one idol as Paul is observing all of these idols. And he sees one of these many, and the title of this one was, To the Unknown God. They had given a god, an idol, that is titled, given the name The Unknown God, just in case we missed the real God. Paul looked at that idol and it said, I'm going to tell you about Him. Yes. And you know what Paul said next? He's the Creator of all that is. He's the Creator. Now, when he gets to the conclusion of his message to the Athenians, listen to what he said. This is meaningful for you and me. He said this, that they should seek the Lord. That's what he wanted the Athenians to do. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him, as in whenever the lights are all off and you don't want to run into the coffee table and you're kind of doing this when you're going through the house at dark, that they might feel after Him. And then he said this, though He be not far from every one of us. God's not far from you. He might feel far from you, but He's not far from you. Remember that message Brother Jett did? And in that message he said this. This is noteworthy why I'm saying it again. You are always only one choice away from God. He's not far from you. Recommitment means that you were once committed to Him and you have strayed away. Recommitment means you had that time when you were making decisions for Him, you were making commitments to Him and for Him, and then you got away from Him. I decided that I would serve God. I decided that I would remain pure. I remember when I made that commitment. Unfortunately, it was as a result of seeing other teens in my youth group who had engaged in illicit physical relationships, and one of the youth in our youth group had become pregnant. And it was a sad, awful situation which did not grow into something wonderful. And actually, even to this day, is a heartache for those two young people and the children. But I remembered going through that season and making a decision in my heart that I didn't want to be on that path. I didn't want to cave to or fall to a impure feeling or thought that I might have been having. So I committed myself. I committed myself to God. Moses was dealing with stubborn people who would inevitably turn away from God. We're going to get to the book of Judges, and you know what we're going to find all through the book of Judges is that God saved Israel by sending them a judge, and then not long after being saved, they went away from God. Is that not like us? We're just like that. When we read about the stubborn nature of the Israelites, we just hit our heads on the wall, or we just slap our heads like this and we say, Israel, how could you do this? But yet that's what we do. And we see ourselves in them. Israel would be in the midst of a curse, and God said, but I know that you'll come back to me. In Deuteronomy 30, don't turn there, but this is what is predicted about Israel before it ever happens. God says, ye shall, in the midst of this curse, ye shall return unto the Lord thy God and shall obey His voice according to all that I command thee this day. Isn't that a good word, to return? It's sort of like repent. It's sort of like come unto me, but come back unto me. It's a recommitment, isn't it? So returning to the Lord is a recommitment to God. We've made commitments in the past. We fell away from our commitments. We've stepped away from God. We've stepped back. We need revival of our commitment. We need to return to God. And I can tell you this morning, if that's you, if you've fallen away, if you've gone away from God and you need to recommit, this evening, God is not far away from you.
Amen.
He's not far. The Lord is about to give Israel instant prosperity in the land. That's what he talks about here in our passage. He says, you're going to go into the land and you're going to be blessed with blessings that you didn't do anything to get. I mean, you're going to have a garden and you didn't even plant it. Can I get an amen to that? I want a garden. I mean, genuinely. I just don't want to do the planting and all that kind of stuff that goes, the pre-planting that goes into having a nice garden. You know, I see, every time I go jogging, lately especially, I'm jogging and I look over to the left and I see Miss Nancy out working in the yard. I'm thinking, bless your heart, you're doing great. I never do that. You know, I am jogging, at least I have that, right? But Israel here, they're about to be blessed of God. They're going to go into a land already flowing with milk and honey, and God's going to prosper them. They're not going to do anything to get those blessings. But God gives them a warning about the danger of instant prosperity. Here's the warning, that there's a tendency when we're blessed like that to forget God. So you need to be warned. Although I want you to be blessed, and I want you to remain in the land, and I want you to remain under the umbrella of those blessings, you need to be warned about blessings like this, is that there's a tendency for us, although we're committed to God, we're following and walking with Him, that when we are starting to receive these blessings, that we would forget Him. Yeah. And so look at verse 10. He says, then it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land that He sware to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then verse 11, the house will be full of all good things, which thou filledest not. So, and then he talks about the wells and the vineyards and the gardens being planted, and you're eating, you're being full. And then verse 12, he says, then beware lest thou forget God. So that's the tendency, to get these blessings and to be prosperous. The windows of heaven, isn't there, what's that song? The windows of heaven are open, blessings are falling tonight. You know that song? No, you don't. Okay, anyway, I just made it up maybe. The windows of heaven are open, the blessings are falling. No, it really is a song. The blessings are falling tonight, and then along with the joy and the continued blessings, then we forget God. That's what God says could happen here. Started building the deck in the backyard. I've been showing pictures, and I feel a little bit like an old man out there. I don't know what it is. I think my stomach's getting a little bit bigger, and so I'm bending over, and I'm doing all this stuff, and I just suddenly lose all my breath. So I just like, I have to do that, you know. And Andrew was like, Dad, are you okay? Yeah, I'm all right, I'm fine. You know, so we keep going at it. In the process of doing this work out there, we're digging dirt, so we're moving dirt around. And when we start turning the dirt over, there's worms that are flopping out of this dirt, and big worms, and we're throwing them in the yard, and the birds are starting to perch all around on the fence. I'm like, I know what these birds are waiting for. They're like, you need to get out of Dodge so we can go to a buffet. I mean, they're waiting for it. Well, it's a prosperity. It's like instant buffet, and I didn't do any. It's like, you're doing all the work for me. We're digging all this dirt, and the worms are just coming right to the top, and they're like, this is beautiful. You know, that's what Israel is about to experience. God's going to bring all the blessings right to the top. They're going to move into the land. It's going to be already flowing with milk and honey, and they just need to move in, and they're blessed. The danger is there, though, that they would forget God through this prosperity. Well, we need to be mindful that that can happen to us, that we would be blessed and then forget God. Now, how might that happen? Now, I want to get into a lot of things here, and I need you to help this message by making some personal application as we go through, okay? But I do want to say that teenagers and young people, sometimes as they get older, they get away from God. Now this could be a tendency, young people, to get away from God because your attention is distracted by a prosperity that comes along with youth. You know, there's a kind of beauty, and that's not a bad thing to say. And our young people are good-looking young people. And so there's beauty there on this side. And there's some, you know, there's some qualities there that are good qualities, kind of, on this side. And what comes along, note this, what comes along with this as our young people get older is a kind of attraction, a natural attraction with being young and having that energy. And so then there's an attraction there. And then now, is that, and none of this is necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it's a natural thing. But here's what happens sometimes. Is along with the blessing of having this attraction or having this beauty or having this, you know, physical strength or whatever it is, would be the desire to be seen as beautiful, to be viewed and to have the interest of those that are around you. So now you've been blessed with beauty, but now you have taken what God has blessed you with. There's a temptation here, and you have exploited it, where you now are trying to draw the attention of those around you using your beauty. And so if that's the temptation, then maybe it affects what you wear, doesn't it? If you're drawing attention to yourself, it affects what you wear. It affects how you carry yourself. Boys, it affects what you say. And so there's a blessing that comes with you, but then there's a temptation to forget God that comes with you too, along with all of the blessings. And so God says, listen, you can be committed to God, and God's going to pour His blessings out on you. And some of these are just natural blessings that come to us because of certain segments or phases in life or how hard we work, and so blessings come. But with the blessings is also the temptation to forget God. So you've made the commitment, but then now because somebody's interested in you, or there's an interest there, or there's a potential relationship there, now the commitments we made to God start to go out the window, and we start to focus our attention on that relationship. Do you know what you need? You need recommitment. God says, this is a potential for those of us who are blessed. And that's for young people. You say, does that happen, Pastor? Of course it happens. And so commitments are made of being pure. Our young people are wise to make commitments to be pure. But if you've made a commitment to be pure, you're going to have to, through the years, young people, make recommitments. You're going to have to constantly recommit yourself to that decision that you made. And there's other things that come our way. There's blessings that come our way, sometimes financially. And so then we, with financial blessings, there are the temptation to buy things that can pull us away from God. The blessing came from God, but what we were tempted with wasn't what God wanted us to do with the blessings. And so with that temptation, with that blessing, we forget God and we spend God's blessing on something else. And then with this stuff, it leads us away from our commitments. Well, I can't be in church because I have this other stuff I need to take care of. Or I can't serve in this ministry because we have these other financial obligations, these other commitments. So with prosperity, there is those times when our commitment is in danger. 2 Samuel, David's a great example of this in chapter 11 when he sinned with Bathsheba. Think about it. God had prospered this nation with victory after victory, and now the nation of Israel is almost like becoming an empire, and they're ruling and they are having these blessings that are flowing into this nation. And David, supposed to be at conflict in the war, he stays back just to sort of bask in the glory of the blessings that have poured into them, and then he saw Bathsheba from the rooftop, and he fell into that sin. Into adultery and then later into murder. You know what God said about this? Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. Don't turn there, but here's what Solomon said. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. And then he said this, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Blessings can make you say, who is the Lord? Proverbs 1:32 says this, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Prosperity. So what were the Israelites to do? Well, with the blessings of prosperity, they needed to renew their commitments to God. With the blessings, they needed to renew the commitments. Verse 13, look what it says. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Now that phrase, swear by his name, had to do with commitments being made in the name of God. So what is that? Verse 17, ye shall diligently keep the commandments. Verse 19, to cast out all thine enemies before thee. Proverbs 16:3 says this, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. God says, make a commitment. Make a commitment. Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So the first thing we can know that God wants to do in us tonight is that God would touch us. We would know what God is leading us to do, and that we would make a commitment to Him to do what He is asking us to do. It starts with a commitment, church. We have to say, God, I know what You want me to do, and tonight I'm going to commit myself to doing what I know You want me to do. That's between You and God. And it starts with a commitment, that we would commit ourselves to Him. Now, if you've already made commitments to God, or made a decision to walk a certain path and you've fallen away from that, or you've been distracted away from that, or you've forgotten, there's indicators that your commitment has been distracted, and we see that here, and I want to point that out to you. There's two of them. The first one is that we need to recommit Israel, have went after other gods. It's true for you and me too. Look at verse 14. Ye shall not go after other gods. This is the first thing. This is the first indicator you've maybe made a commitment, but now you need to make a recommitment. That you've committed yourself to God, and now you've went after other gods. The gods of the people that are around you. And then he says, our Lord is a jealous God among you, and the anger of the Lord shall God be kindled against thee. So jealousy in this sense has to do not with envy of another man's possessions or his privileges. That kind of envy is wrong, or jealousy is wrong. But this jealousy meant that God is zealous to protect what belongs to Him and what belongs to Him alone, and that's you and me. And through our commitments, we have said, God, I know that You're my God. I want to be Your servant. I commit myself to You. God has committed Himself to you, and He wants that we would commit ourselves to Him. And so jealousy in that sense is a right thing. And when we pursue other gods, we bring that judgment on ourselves. Your commitment is distracted if you've decided to put other things before God. The little g gods in our life that replace God. The things that we do instead of reading our Bible. We talked about it this morning. The things that we do instead of being in the house of God. The things that we do instead of spending our time or our energy or our abilities on the things of God, and we give ourselves to that, and we give nothing of ourselves to the work of God. The money that we spend, that is God's, and what we're spending it on has become a little g God in our life. These activities that we involve ourselves instead of serving in the ministry, these are things that we put before God. And if you have served little g gods, if you have put things before the one true living God, then you need recommitment tonight. You need it. The second thing that is evident when we need recommitment is there's a complaining attitude according to our circumstances. Look at verse 16. This is the second thing. He said, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. What happened in Massah? In Exodus 17, Israel was on a journey in Rephidim, and they didn't have any water, and they complained, and God gave them water. The implication there is they were not in, they didn't have the heart that they needed to have in a commitment to God because they were complaining. It's like saying you're taking a step, you're taking steps in the wrong direction when you're complaining. Complaining is an indicator that your commitment is lacking. Complaining has to do with arguing or striving or contending or quarreling. And our commitment isn't where it needs to be. There needs to be recommitment. Tonight, there needs to be two things that happen. It needs to happen. And it needs to happen in all of us. That we would be committed to God. If you've not committed yourself to God, that's where it starts. He's already committed Himself to you. Now it's time for you to make a commitment to Him. God, I commit myself to you. I'm going to, listen boys, that one day, it's my prayer that you would commit yourself to God. That God would work in your heart and that you would say, I want to serve God in this area of my life, whether it's purity or whether it's serving Him in an aspect of ministry. And by the way, ministry isn't just becoming a pastor someday, although it could be that. It could be ministry just serving God in the work of God, understanding that God wants to use you to reach more people with the gospel. And you can surrender to that. You could say, I commit myself. Girls, God wants to work in you. And really the same kinds of things where a commitment would be made. Just off the bat where you would come to the altar and you'd say, God, you've been working in my heart and I know that you want me to commit myself to this. And so tonight, I commit myself to you in this area of my life, whether it's purity. And by the way, purity isn't just an illicit relationship that has physical ramifications between children. Mm-mm. Purity is something that needs to start at the, it can be up here at the front and it works its way all the way to the back of this auditorium. Purity needs to be a part of all of us because it's in our minds where even at times our mind isn't thinking the way that it should. And so purity needs to be a commitment that we all make. And so God works in us and we make these kinds of commitments and there needs to be a day that the commitments were made. Whether it's purity or whether it's walking with God, whether it's saying this, God, I'm always going to be in church. I might go through some hard things. I might get offended. I might not like the preacher sometimes. I might not like somebody else sometimes. I might feel like, you know, there's some real problems here. But you know what? I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to be in your house. I'm going to stay faithful to church. You know, that's a good commitment to make. We all need to make that commitment. God says, don't forsake. You know, I don't think we should forsake the house of God. And so a commitment should be made. God, I want to commit myself to giving. I want to commit myself to serving. I want to commit myself to the choir. I want to commit myself to serving in a ministry. God, I want to commit myself. And then through that commitment, God uses us to do great things. It's incredible. It's amazing. But then, after we make those commitments, and some of us need to make a commitment tonight, maybe in 2 weeks or less, you'll be back in church, and that thing you made a commitment for 2 weeks ago, or even a week ago, or maybe even yesterday, you already are going away. So then a recommitment needs to be made. You say, how many times? All the time. So that you will remain faithful to the Lord to the end. Paul said that I may finish. How about we just make a commitment that we're going to finish? God, I don't want to ever give up. I want to commit, I want to recommit, and do it as long as I need to until the finish. So tonight, maybe you've made commitments, and you know you've gone backwards. And so tonight's the night to make a recommitment. Let me give you some statements, and we'll get on to our dessert. God wants you to be committed. That's a good statement. Don't close your Bibles yet. God wants you to be committed. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If you've not made a commitment, then you need to make a commitment. God, today I know that you're working in me. I've been fighting with you about this. Maybe you have been fighting with the Lord about it. Lord, I don't want to fight you anymore. God, you've blessed me. And I have allowed these blessings to cause me to get my eyes off of you. I want to get my heart back to you tonight. Commit to the Lord, recommit to the Lord if you've gotten your eyes off of Him. That's the second statement. You need to recommit to God if you've gotten your eyes off of Him. God, help me to return to you. Help me to get my eyes back on you. Recommit. I recommit to you tonight. That commitment I made, and I've gone back, I recommit tonight. Three questions. Have you been going after other gods, little g? Have you found yourself complaining? That little g thing is the things that have replaced God. Lauren, have you? She raised her hand. She's been complaining. She's being honest with us tonight. You don't have to raise your hand right there, by the way. Have you found yourself complaining? And then my final question, and we'll be done. Do you need to make a commitment tonight, or do you need to make a recommitment tonight? Because tonight's the night. Let's do that. Father, I pray your blessings on the invitation. It could be that someone needs to commit themselves to you tonight. Themselves to you tonight. It could be that somebody needs to make a recommitment tonight. Pray that tonight would be the night that they would surrender themselves to you either the first time or the next time. We'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. If you answered those questions,